League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Take for a second, but we started yesterday's show talking Astros baseball, so about 24 hours later, we'll do it again as they sweep the Phillies. Hunter Brown on the mound, another great performance. Brian King cost them a win. Brian King narrowly avoided giving up a run in his previous outing the day before. Could not do it yesterday as Hunter Brown pitches great. Doesn't get the win. The Astros don't do a lot for run support, really, and that was the whole thing over the course of the series. They score five runs and sweep the series. If you're a Philly fan watching it, you've got to be like, what's going on? Come on. Like, you take it from Hunter Brown and Fromber, but the Colton Gordon thing had to hurt. The Colton Gordon thing, like, look, you walk into that series and you think, okay, it's Fromber and Hunter Brown. That's going to be tough. But we got Zach Wheeler against Colton Gordon, so we at least think we're going to get one, and they got none. As the Astros sweep them and continue their run, and people are taking notice. A lot of the Astros are inevitable stuff. I don't know if that came from Ben Verlander. I know he references it all the time. The Astros are inevitable. It seems like he believes he started it because he's always using it. I don't know.
It's his brand.
Yeah.
His brand.
His brand is being the brother of Justin, but yes.
His secondary brand.
Does it come before his love for Shohei? Which is a bigger brand for Ben Verlander?
Clicks-wise, probably Shohei.
Yes.
Because you're pandering to a different audience.
Yes. I don't know how many people want to hear that the Astros are inevitable.
Other than
us. Yeah. Like, we played something on the morning show from a woman who runs an account called Baseball for Baddies. You can, it's on Instagram. You can go to the account. I don't know if it's for us, unless we believe we're baddies, but you can make your judgments on that page if you want. But she talks about how the Astros are inevitable. So I don't know if that's Ben Verlander's thing going widespread, or is that something people have always said and he latched onto it. But at this point, what is there to say? We had to talk about who's run the best here in town, and we kind of fell with the Astros are probably third behind the Rockets and the Texans, whatever order you have them in. But their winning kind of shades their process. We kind of don't talk about the process as much as we maybe should because of all the winning they do, and that continues. Whether it be Colton Gordon outdueling Zach Wheeler or your ace in Hunter Brown getting the job done once again, they continue to win ball games. Another one-run win for them. They're remarkable in that category. You might think there's going to be some regression at some point, but right now we'll take it. We'll take continuing to win one-run games, topping the fact that they win a lot of extra inning games as well. They have found a way to continue to succeed, and you beat a good team. Like, yeah, you take care of the Angels, fine. You split a series against the A's because Nick Kurtz was great in terms of hitting walk-off home runs. But you come home And I won't say you dominated the Phillies because you didn't, but you kept finding ways to win ball games. You had Yiner driving in, a run yesterday. You just keep getting the job done. Cam Smith had the game winning hit the day before. Over and over again, no matter it feels like how things are going, this team seems like they're going to come through. And so, nothing but good things to say about Hunter Brown. And that was the case for MLB Network. We'll play that sound a little bit later, because once you start pitching the way Hunter Brown has done over the course of the season, and we're this deep into the year, the Cy Young stuff starts to pop up. Postseason awards start to have more meaning and discussions about them. And he's right there, whether it be with Skubal or others. He is now firmly in contention for that award, which felt like, at least for the national media, a Skubal award, and everyone else was going to finish in second in the AL. Well, Hunter Brown continues to show that maybe you shouldn't forget. And of course, then it becomes, is he going to be available for the All-Star game to start? Look, a lot of that has to do with his turn in the rotation. Like, if Skubal pitches on Sunday, then maybe Hunter Brown does start. Or if Hunter Brown pitches on Sunday, then he won't start. So I don't really care, since your turn in rotation plays such a part in how that stuff goes. So just acknowledge that he's an All-Star and I'm good. Like, I don't need Hunter Brown on the mound. I'm sure it's an honor for him. But you know what? If he pitches on Sundays, unavailable for Tuesday, cool. In fact, I hope for that. I hope he does go 8 strong on the Sunday before the All-Star game. And it turns out, sorry, can't pitch, but love to be there.
Yeah, I'll be in the dugout.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe do an interview if someone wants to talk to Hunter Brown. Cool, we'll take that. Tom Verducci, if you're on the show. I don't know if he does. I know he does MLB. I'm not sure if he's on Fox.
It's on Fox. So.
Yeah, I don't know if he's on Fox. I know he's on MLB Network. Okay. I'm not sure he's on Fox. But whoever's in there, you want to talk to Hunter Brown?
Ken Rosenthal.
Yeah, probably. If you're on Fox, excuse me, if Ken Rosenthal wants to talk to Hunter Brown, cool. But I don't need him out on the mound.
Just getting named to the All-Star
team is the important part.
Like, yeah, especially for pitchers. If it's a position player, you want to play. You want to see, you know, Pena play.
Yeah. His first
but
ever.
Even, yeah, even like the distinction between being a starter and not being a starter.
Has it kind of waned? Do we care about that?
I think it's waned a little bit. And the baseball All-Star game is special in it because the starters probably only get 2 at-bats and then they're out of the game. And then the game is actually decided by all the backups and the guys on the Marlins who, well, every team needs one All-Star representative, so here's a Rocky in the 8th inning. There's no way to actually, you know, flip that or to have it. If everyone's going to play, you're going to start with your starters and then work down the list of All-Stars.
The fan favorites, who everyone voted to see, generally don't play a part in a close game late.
The game ends like an hour and a half after Shohei Ohtani is off my TV.
Yeah. The guy we all came to see won't even be around when the game's decided, if it's a close ball game throughout. So Hunter Brown, All-Star representative, that's a lock. Jeremy Pena, that should be something he gets honored with.
Snubbed from the first
first
ballot.
Astro made it past the first thing for fan voting, right?
I
saw that somewhere.
Yeah, that basically decides the starters.
Yes, it does. So,
for the lineup.
Yeah, so we won't see an Astro starter in the batting order.
To be fair, Pena is probably the only one that
had a real chance, right?
Yeah, or deserved a chance because I saw so many people do the side-by-side baseball reference comparison thing where it shades in the block of whichever stat that guy's winning. And it's like, can you believe that they picked this guy over this guy? And it's like a guy on the Dodgers and a guy on the Mets and then some shortstop for whatever. And I'm just like, yeah, you know what? I actually can believe that more fans voted for the Dodger and the Met than they did for an NL Central team. Like,
it's not surprising. Not surprising
me.
At all. So he'll be there. Hunter Brown, Jeremy Pena. They'll be
Locks.
There.
Hater, lock.
Yeah, there's the other one. Hater. And then that's probably it, right? Can you think of another name that could pop up?
Maybe a Paredes, but that's about it.
Yeah, and that's stretching it
Fromber,
probably.
Yeah.
You know, not a bad shout. Maybe Fromber gets there. We'll see. We'll see how much.
As far as the lineup, like, nah.
No, how much they want to honor Astros pitching.
Jake Meyer's great year, but no thanks.
What do you mean? Or you're saying no thanks? Or
no,
or
the league voter, is saying the no thanks. No.
Yeah, who
wants I think they should do, like, the opposite bizarro All-Star game that they play right before the All-Star game, and guys like Christian Walker can be in there.
You think that guy
just whoever sucks?
I don't think that is what he's looking for, to be honored for being awful. Like the NBA Centel All-Star game
that
you're talking
about. Yeah, the Hater Muse.
Yeah, All-Star game.
All-Star game. But it's like you have to be somewhat notable to be in that.
And you're just having a really bad
game.
You can't be
not punching down. Yeah, we're not putting Blair Hinley in there. We're not putting in.
Yeah, you're not putting a bad player or relatively speaking to the rest of
us. You have to be on like your third contract.
Yeah, you're Christian Walker who is expected to do good things and you've underperformed. Like if you're an underperformer,
yes,
that's
exactly.
You make the game. What they play on Monday to an empty building just to even enhance how bad they've been. We're not even selling tickets. We're broadcasting.
You only sell like Marlins level tickets where it's like we'll only sell 4,000
friends and family.
Yeah.
Friends and family attendance for that game.
And the real All-Stars.
Yeah, poor Christian.
They're also there.
If they want to watch and play
and
laugh.
They can sit behind the dugout and heckle.
Poor Christian Walker. It's been a rough go for him.
Yeah, I saw the side-by-side comparison I was talking about with the All-Stars. I saw a very unfortunate one comparing him to year one of Jose Abreu.
Yeah, it's not favorable.
Was not favorable.
Yeah, people are calling it the curse of Yuli. Haven't been able to replace Yuli since he left. And unfortunately, that has continued through Christian Walker's early time with the Astros. A guy who is in a different realm is Hunter Brown. I'll give you some numbers from Hunter Brown and how he compares to some Astros greats when we come back. But first, I want to tell you about Monument Chevrolet. It's a place you go to in Pasadena when you want a great vehicle. And those vehicles could be new, whether you want a new Trax or a Trailblazer or a Silverado 1500. They're there for you. And, of course, they have a great pre-owned inventory as well. That lot is pretty much a campus because they have the new cars. They have the pre-owned cars. They have the cars for the commercial vehicles for your business. They have all of that. And then they have a service department and a parts department. And, of course, you can go inside and talk to the great salespeople as well. So I mentioned salespeople because they do something where they honor them with Salesperson of the Week. And that's just not about selling cars. It's about how they interact with the people who they're talking to. And I've been out there a couple of times to talk to the people who make sure you get into the great cars. And they have a process where they're going to be friendly, but they're not going to push you to do anything. They understand you probably have an idea of what kind of car you want because maybe you've been on the website, monumentchevrolet.com. So once you identify the car that you're looking for, they'll get you in that car as quickly as possible, but at your own pace. They'll tell you and walk you through the car buying process in a way that you understand everything you need to understand. So get on out there. It's in Pasadena off of Bellway 8 and 225. And if you're not sure about something, check out what they have on monumentchevrolet.com. Great cars, great people. It's Monument Chevrolet. And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Joe George walks in here. He is the, at least one of the hosts of Inside the Icebox, an Astro-centric podcast. He does that with Jeremy Branham, and I'm sure a conversation about Hunter Brown will take place because he has been great this year. And the numbers from Chandler Rome are this. Lowest ERA after the first 16 starts of a season in Astros history. Nolan Ryan in 1981, 1.29. Roger Clemens, 1.5 in 05. Justin Verlander, 1.6 in 18. And Hunter Brown coming in fourth at 1.74 in 2025. So he is among Astro greats, and not just Astro greats, just MLB greats as far as what he's done so far. And we saw that in the game yesterday where he doesn't give up a run. Unfortunately, does not get a win because of Brian King, who has scuffled the last couple of outings, and it led to giving up a run. But thanks to Cam Smith coming through. The Astros win that one, 2-1 against the Phillies and sweep them. I didn't see this quote. I don't know if it's an old one that Chandler Rome brought back for an article, or is it as recent as a couple of days ago, but he asked Dubon, or at least it came up, Mauricio Dubon, about Jeremy Pena. And, of course, the news broke a couple of days ago that the Astros and him were and Pena were in deep negotiations. Turns out they couldn't get a deal done. Now Pena has Boris, so all that stuff about 105 over 5 is out the window. But Pena, at least Dubon, has this to say about Pena. He's a $300 million player. Jim Crane's like, quiet down. Cut that out. What are you doing? He's been showing it. He's always had this. The problem is it never clicked. But Dubon thinks he's a $300 million player. And if I'm Jim Crane, sometimes you got to put a gag order on your players. Hey, let's not discuss what you think the price for Jeremy Pena is if it's nearly three times what we were about to pay him. Knock it off.
Pena should have fired his agent and hired Mauricio Dubon.
I don't know if that's allowed, if he's accredited to be an MLB agent.
Yeah, maybe in the MLB it's different.
Yeah.
NBA.
Yeah, you have to actually have to be an agent. But it may be closer to reality than Jim Crane wants. Look, it's funny we're doing this. It's not even half a season of Pena being this good.
75 games.
Yeah, but it's enough to change the perspective of what he could make. Do we believe this will be what he is all year? We certainly hope so, because that means Jeremy Pena is fulfilling the promise that he showed in 2022 when he was an MVP of the ALCS and the World Series. But you love a hype man.
Yeah.
So Dubon's a great hype man.
He is a great hype man.
Like, I wish someone would come.
Just on this team. Just
I wish someone would maybe relatively, whatever the version of radio hosts relative to $300 million, like, someone want to say that about me? Anyone? Not that it would matter, because, hey, I know the deal. But I just wish someone was like, you know, he hadn't shown it until this year, but he's throw out a number that's unrealistic, whatever it might be. I would love that. Dubon, great hype man, great teammate, and he believes in Jeremy Pena. $300 million, man. I'm sure when Jim Crane saw that quote, it's like, all right, man. Dubon, come into my office. We're not going to talk to the media about other people's deals, all right? We're working on it. We're trying.
Can you at least just not put a number on it?
Yeah, say he's a great player.
We'd love to have him back.
Say he's worth whatever he can get. But don't put a number of $300 million on it.
That'd be a very back end.
Yeah.
Listen. He should get signed for whatever he can negotiate.
He should get whatever is out there for him. Whatever he can possibly
whatever
get,
the
he
best
deserves
offer
it.
Is
for he deserves
right
it.
Right now.
Yes.
Because only one team can negotiate with him.
Exactly. That's the Astros' perspective when they try to do something. It just didn't work out. So, love Dubon. He's come through over the last couple weeks or so. And, well, why wouldn't he? He's just like every other Astro as they continue to win ball games. Best team in June in baseball. And, no signs of stopping, at least right now. Okay, let's get to Pena here. Not Jeremy. He just goes by Pena. He wants to talk. I didn't think Arizona Cardinals football would come up, but here it is. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's up, Dale? Hey, quick update, man. Well, not a quick update, but last year I called about the DJ Screwdrop. This time I found a plug, a trusted plug, family member, so I don't have to stress about getting a hat. But no, I'm not calling about the Arizona Cardinals. I'm calling about the St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay.
Yesterday, I didn't get to hear you yesterday, so I don't know if you talked about this, but I did catch the NBC show, and they're talking about the color commentator or somebody, whoever called the game.
Chip Carey.
He was talking about Pride Night, and he had an error.
Yeah, I
don't know if you heard about that. I'm pretty sure Sean was there, obviously, so. If I can get your thoughts on that, that was pretty hilarious. Thank you. Have a great weekend, man.
Thank you. Yeah, the son of Harry Carey, Chip Carey, was calling the Cardinals game, and as Pena let you know, it was a celebration of Pride Night. Either he was promoting a future date or was going on at the time, and instead of saying, what were they giving out Pride flags? Either way, he dropped the L in that word. He said accidentally a slur. And after he said it, there was a moment of silence that he wasn't looking for. Like, no one chimed in. It was awkward silence. Because if you're the analyst, you're like, I ain't getting involved in this.
I have it pulled up.
All right.
Disability Pride Night is Thursday, July 10th, and with the theme ticket, fans take home a Cardinals cap featuring the Disability Pride flag and Cardinals in Braille. Details at cardinals.com/theme.
Chip Carey's like, someone save me. Hey, I don't know who his partner is. You want to talk about the game a little bit?
Lead that one.
So there was that.
I also cut that in half. That,
oh, it was longer.
That was originally
than that.
30 seconds.
Yeah,
that was only 15.
Yeah. And, you know, radio silence can feel like forever. So Sean does a good job there making it shorter. But even then, it felt like an eternity.
I think they skipped one pitch. That was the second pitch after he dropped the F-bomb.
And someone was like, need that one.
I think it was about.
It was. I thought it was in reference to the hat. I guess it was in reference to missing a pitch.
Yeah, it was
the
like umpire a 2-1 count
messed
or something.
It up or whatever. Yeah. All right. So yes, I heard about it. The Cardinals, or at least whoever, obviously the team and the broadcast partner worked together to hire those guys. So I would say the Cardinals and the broadcast partner came together and said, "Hey, that's just a mistake. It's not a big deal. Chip Carey will continue to call games." They did not fire him over that. They did not dive deep into. Was that a Freudian slip, Chip? I don't think they got involved in that. They just said, hey, made a mistake. We stumble over words sometimes. We're gonna keep it moving. I mean, it happened at an inopportune time.
It did.
Let's say that.
It did happen at an inopportune time. It's not, I'll say, and maybe you are more the voice on this. You should be more the voice on this. As bad as the Oakland A's broadcaster last year, who was talking about when they're in Kansas City, they made a trip to the Negro League Museum, and he accidentally used or maybe not accidentally, I don't know. But he used a different term
slip of
that
the
starts
tongue.
With an N.
Yeah, ends in a – well, you guys can figure it out.
I think he ended it not in the acceptable way.
Well, for some people. he went hard ER, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he did.
See, that one, I don't know if you can say slip of the tongue. I'm not sure about that one.
My bad.
Yeah, I don't know if you can get away with saying.
Well, now they have that the lady broadcaster, so obviously he didn't get away
with it. Yeah, he didn't get away with it. The lady broadcaster who can't go a day without someone saying she's ruining a great call. I wonder what that's about. I think I can figure it out. But, yeah, the A's broadcaster, he's probably going to catch less grace because it's further away from Negro League to what he said than what Chip Carey said and flag.
Yes.
Yes. I even when I was.
It's one letter away.
Yeah. Even when I was just saying that sentence, I was very careful not to say what he said because it's an easy thing to do, but you have to ask yourself, and the Cardinals won't because they probably want Chip Carey to keep calling games.
Yeah.
Hey, how'd you get there from flag? What's that about? Considering the topic of conversation.
What's the deal there?
Yeah.
And you see, this is where the Texas Rangers go, we avoid these problems by not having Pride Night.
Hey, if you don't have Pride Night, you don't have to worry about it.
Boom. You're welcome.
You don't have to worry about what's floating
you're
through
welcome,
the head of your announcer.
Dave Raymond.
Dave Raymond never has to worry about it. If he ever was worried, the Rangers have taken away that particular chance for a disaster to happen. So Chip Carey remains the play-by-play guy. He's a legacy. I mean, we know that Harry has said some things in the past. He was known for not being,
you know,
he's an old. He was old.
It was back in the day.
Still. So it's Harry, then Skip, then Chip. If your name,
wait, is this a grandson?
It's a grandson, yes.
Whoa. You know what? I think it gets less grace. The further away you get away from Harry.
So, because Skip is actually, his real name is Harry. He's Harry Carey Jr., but he went by Skip.
Got it.
And then he named his son Harry Christopher Carey III, but they call him Chip.
Okay.
I don't like it.
Chip off the old block.
I understand, but I don't like it. Okay. I don't like Skip. Okay, whatever. I just don't like Then we went to Chip. Who's next? Yeah. What's Chip Carey's kid's name? Chris. So he just, it's actually Harry. He's the fourth, but they just, it's now called.
Quattro.
He's the fourth, but they call him Chris to differentiate.
Oh, they should have called Chip Trey.
Ooh, they're not cool enough.
Trey Carey.
Not true. That's not cool enough. It's a good idea, but they're not cool enough to do even think of it.
Hey.
So it's Harry Carey, Skip Carey, who is just Harry the second. Chip is just Harry the third. And then now Chris is Harry the fourth. When does the name stop? Because if you're not a broadcaster, can't you just have a regular name?
Yes, you could just have a regular name. And then none of them go professionally by Harry.
Yeah.
I think by the fifth, you can circle back to Harry.
Like, I get that it's a family name and you love it. But do you get the five or six of these when you're not a king?
See,
when you're not royalty?
I go the other way. I have a hard time seeing the ball get rolling. You know, like to junior your son. I don't know. That seems harder than me. Than if I was a third, I'd be like, well, got to keep it rolling. I can't break the streak.
I get your point. There is a certain level of.
I want to see how high this goes.
There is a certain level of narcissism to name your child after.
I want to get to Willful of the Fifth.
I think I agree. Like once it begins, okay, whatever. But the first guy who names their child after them.
Junior is the biggest hurdle.
Because you have, I don't know the mindset. I'm not a parent. Probably never will. Not looking for it. Sorry, Mom.
Tough way to break that.
Well, she kind of.
That'll be the social video.
She kind of knows. Sweet. It is our day. But could I ever get to the point, first of all, having my name in school was tough. Kids maybe are a little bit more friendly now, but having my full name was a little tough to navigate. I had to run to classes the first day of school. Yeah. Hey, just call me this. So you don't butcher my name on the first day of school and it becomes a thing. I had to do that for like all of high school for the most part. So I don't think I would put that on my kid.
Yeah.
Plus, what kind of legacy am I?
Yeah.
Like, do you foresee...
Harry Carey really called
Do you foresee
Sean.
Calling your kid if you decide to have one,
no
Sean Mapes the second?
No.
Or are you a family name? Do you have a family name? Okay. You don't foresee Mapes Jr. You don't foresee that happening.
No.
You don't, and you're not a George Foreman type, or even if it's a girl. It's
now
a variation of Sean.
Shauna,
yeah. Okay. Okay. We're seeing eye to eye.
That'd be very funny, though, if I was like, Sean Jr.? No.
You name the son, the firstborn Sean Jr., the daughter Shauna, and you keep going.
Yeah.
Chantel?
There we go.
Just keep it going. Name them all. Okay. So thanks, Pena, for the call. Chip Carey remains the broadcaster for the Cardinals.
Yeah. Good for him.
Good for him. He skirted a potential disaster. And he can call Cardinals games going forward. Remember when we cared about the Cardinals? It's been a long time. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to get in and divert the show in any way you can, you can do that. 713-780-3776. We'll have Michael Carroll at 11:30. He'll join us to tell you what you should or shouldn't watch. I mentioned Joe George earlier, who came in a Cubs jersey. Speaking of the Cardinals and the NL Central, former rivals of the Astros, he was talking about how there's not a lot to watch and it was kind of determining whether he wanted to continue playing a video game. But, well, Michael, maybe will give us a list of things we can watch this weekend if he has those in his bag. I know people have watched Superman. There's an embargo on that, so they can't talk about it. But Superman, brought to you by James Gunn, is out. We'll see if Michael's gotten a feel for how that movie is going to be reviewed and whether we'll enjoy it. So we'll talk about that and a lot of other stuff. But we got some time before we get to that. And I do love a standoff, so we'll talk about that when we come back. Ace Bailey versus the Jazz, and maybe Ace Bailey versus Convention. We'll get into that when we come back. But first, I want to tell you about Top Dog Fireworks. I've been talking to you about them all week. They're the place you go to if you want great fireworks at a great price. You can go to Top Dog Fireworks and see all they have to offer, or you can go to one of the 14 Houston locations. So once you get into the store, you got a chance to take advantage of their buy one, get one free products. They've got over 100 of those. And, of course, it's while supplies last. So you want to get in there quickly and take advantage of that. They have daily in-store promotions as well. And if you spend $250, you're going to receive a reward. So get in there, try to get that reward. And if you're not sure about what to get, maybe it's your first time buying fireworks, at least a lot of them, you can go to topdogfireworks.com and see all they have to offer. And remember this, they have a holiday giveaway contest right now. Each store location will have a winner of a fireworks assortment valued at over $450. All you got to do is go in and enter, and you got a chance to win the grand prize as well. The Top Dog Beast Assortment, that's valued at over $1,100. So you can do it in-store or at topdogfireworks.com to try to get a chance to win. Just sign up, use that entry form, and see if Top Dog will reward you with a great prize. And also, remember this. Yes, fireworks are about kids and celebrating July 4th. Every purchase that you make, a portion of that sale goes to a supporting local youth organization. So helping out the kids as well, not just a fun time had by all. So topdogfireworks.com is the website. Go into a store right now and get great fireworks from Top Dog.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the NBA draft finished up yesterday, the second round. We're not going to talk about it. The Rockets didn't have a pick, and no one of interest, at least from the area, I think, got drafted that we would actually care about. Maybe you can tell me otherwise, but it's whatever. Second round over, two-day event. How many people actually cared about yesterday? But what happened the night before and what's continuing to happen is of interest to me. So Ace Bailey, he was a prospect that, at least coming into the year, was considered maybe the second-best prospect. He and Dylan Harper were probably going back and forth on that. They happened to be teammates at Rutgers. Dylan Harper turned into the consensus number two, got drafted by the Spurs. Ace Bailey, people pointed to and say, okay, he's probably three, but he was closer to four or five than he was to two, according to draft experts. He winds up trying to control his own fate. He does not go to a place he wants. He did not want to be a member of the Utah Jazz. Danny Ainge said, I don't care. We thought we would have a chance to draft you because of how bad we were, but we were jumped over by the Mavs and the Spurs. So while we tanked to be in a spot where we could possibly take you or Cooper Flagg, we fell below that. And hey, look, you fell to us. We're going to take you. That has turned into what we have now, where Ace Bailey did not report to Utah yesterday. The other first rounder did, Will Clayton Jr., the national champion, Cougs fans. Unfortunately, we know what he's about, at least particularly late in the game. He's there. That first rounder is there. The Jazz say they expect Ace Bailey to be there by the time summer league practice begins on Monday. But generally, when you have a first rounder, you want to get him in pretty quickly to do all that press stuff. Like, he holds up the jersey, he has a press conference, you take the photos. Could that happen today? Maybe, but I have not seen anywhere where it says Ace Bailey's on his way to Utah. That led to what could happen if he doesn't show up. Will the Jazz hold firm? Talked about it on the morning show. The last time a player I remember decided, I don't want to be a place, I told you I didn't want to be here, you drafted me anyway, I'm not showing up, was Steve Francis. And the Grizzlies in Vancouver at the time acquiesced and traded him to Houston. Maybe some Rocket fans would have wished they didn't acquiesce. Or maybe you love Steve Francis' time here. I don't know how that's looked at. It depends. If you go on YouTube or TikTok, you're like, hey, Steve Francis was a problem.
Yeah.
But in a good way.
Yeah.
You watch him for the years he was here. Oh, Steve was a problem.
Helped you get both Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady.
It's true. Much like the Dylan Brooks thing people didn't appreciate at the time, he wound up helping you get KD. So all's well that ends well if you think the Rockets and
Yao. The way he helped you get Yao Ming was
by not
getting the number one pick.
Yeah, and that was the Rockets jumping up above where they should have been, much like Utah suffered. Well, Utah suffered that because Dallas did that and got themselves Cooper Flagg. So the standoff, at least currently, continues between Ace Bailey and the Jazz. Here's Jonathan Givony. He's ESPN's draft expert on the latest regarding that. And we'll see what he thinks about Bailey versus the Jazz.
As many of our viewers might be aware, Ace Bailey did not conduct a single known visit or workout with an NBA team. He was clearly determined to steer himself to a team outside the top five. Many around the NBA believe that to be the Washington Wizards. I was told that his agent, Omar Cooper, told at least one team in the top five before the draft that his client will not report if they decide to draft him. Now, the Utah Jazz selected him regardless of all this. And now the big question is, are we going to see him in Utah anytime soon? I asked Omar Cooper his thoughts on his client's future in Utah, and he declined to answer those questions. He told me there's nothing uncommon about Ace Bailey's pre-draft process. 18 teams interviewed him. They all saw him work out at the NBA draft combine. They all have his medicals, his measurements. He's not the first player to decline or cancel workouts, sure, which is absolutely true. Now, a press conference is scheduled in the near future for Ace Bailey and Walter Clayton. We're all going to see what comes of that if we get any more answers from Ace Bailey about what happened in the past few months.
I love a standoff, man, because it gets people to make real proclamations about what's going to happen. Here's the options for Ace Bailey from what I could find. If he decides, no matter what, he's not reporting to Utah, if he decides to play overseas to make money between now and next year's draft, the Jazz still control his rights. So they could trade him. They could not trade him. They could force him to come in, or at least try to force him to come in next year. If he just sits out basketball, then he can go back into the draft. I'm not sure why the NBA decided to tie playing in Europe or another place with the draft rights. I guess it's like the same way they draft and stash. So, hey, even though we didn't tell him to go over there, if he does go over there, we retain his rights. But if he decides he's just going to sit out, then we lose his rights. I don't know how that makes any sense, but that's what I read up on. Who knows? AI Overview and other places might be wrong on that, but that's what I saw. I hope this goes deep into the season, honestly. I just because I want to see if anyone can get away with this and if Utah has the stomach to have their top five pick never play for them and they don't recoup any assets for them. Like, because the Jazz would have the option of trading them and seeing what they can get for them. I'm sure, despite what's going on, someone would trade for Ace Bailey, who might have really wanted him.
Yeah, I was going to say the team that he's trying to get to,
yeah,
probably.
I don't know what a Ace Bailey is worth, because we've talked about this. You mentioned it earlier this week. Once the draft pick is made, then apparently for whatever reason the guy's less valuable. Like the pick, the hypothetical pick is always more valuable than the actual pick, unless the pick
go
is like Cooper Flagg or something.
Player.
Yeah, when you know who the player is, the pick becomes less valuable. But when you don't, you always have the delusion that hey, at our spot, if we have that pick, we'll pick a great player.
Yeah.
So that's where it is. Do you think if he decides I'll sit out, that the Jazz would hold his rights the entire year? Or would they actually at some point believe him and trade him, or at least try to trade him?
I think they would. I think at some point, like, the discussions would be had of trading him, like where they actually would like pick up the phone and talk to Washington, or I'm trying to think who was even in that like area of the draft that Ace Bailey could have been.
Brooklyn might have taken a shot if he fell further.
So Brooklyn, Washington.
Yeah, like New Orleans already has two first rounders.
Yeah,
and they traded away next year's first rounder to get Derrick Queen, so they are probably off the list, even though they were seventh at the time. Yeah, can't convince Joe Dumars because he doesn't have the picks.
Yeah, so I mean, it doesn't sound like it would be a robust market. I'm sure other teams would get in there eventually, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know if him having a agent who isn't certified and his only other client is his son, Omar Cooper and Sharif Cooper.
Yeah,
the point guard.
The Hawks
from
drafted him a couple years ago.
Auburn,
now.
I think
it might be. I know. I think it was SEC at least.
But I don't know if that helps or hurts in his standoff negotiations. The appetite to actually take this as a wall, or the, I'll say, like, the connections to actually make this work.
Yeah, he's not a clutch. He's not clutch.
Yeah, if this was like a CAA guy or clutch or something, it's like, you know, they actually might like be able to play like two different hands at once and like talk to the GM of wherever they want to go, and like maybe they could actually work this out, or at least work it out enough to where someone sends Danny Ainge enough of a package to get this done. But if it's this guy who I'm just assuming just doesn't have that Rolodex of NBA connections, like, I don't know. I think this might just end up being pretty boring at the end of it, where it's like, oh, he actually does.
He just winds up showing up.
Shows up for Summer League and, like, plays and is kind of upset.
It's very awkward.
Yeah.
He you know, he'll be asked about it and not really give an answer because now he's stuck, stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, there was the rumor that Utah was calling the Celtics about Jaylen Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Celtics, want Ace Bailey?
What else do you have? Laurie Markkanen.
Well, I also it's tough because, like, do you just want expiring contracts or do you want?
Yeah, because you
my best stuff.
Yeah, what do you want?
Do you want Jordan Clarkson?
And the problem for Utah is
I can get you Jordan Clarkson today.
Yeah, the issue for Utah is because of where they stand. Are you unless you're getting a superstar back, you're not going to just trade for a regular old good NBA player. You're not in a position where that guy's going to help you be good.
Yeah. Yeah,
you can't just take competent veterans for Ace Bailey in a pick.
Yeah. You can't go like, you know, we'd love, I don't know, KCP for
Ace Memphis, Baylor. All those picks you just got from Orlando, we'll take those and KCP and Cole Anthony. That's not what they want. The picks from Orlando who are expected to be a good team that Memphis has, that's not all that helpful. And then the veterans that they have, who they would just try to trade anyway, isn't going to be helpful either. So it's an awkward spot for all. I am interested to see if Ace Bailey and his representation are willing to take this to the end.
Yeah.
I got a feeling they're not.
I was going to say, I'm interested as well, but I do not have high hopes that
this last pass.
Something will, actually happen.
Maybe he holds out a summer league. I could see that happening just because I don't want to play in Vegas for the Jazz anyway.
Yeah, he wouldn't be the first guy.
Yeah. But
not playing summer league. Yeah.
But does he wind up
like once we get to like
September, October
training camp? Yeah. Like then what?
Yeah, what are we doing there? Particularly if the Jazz are going to hold for him. According to Brian Windhorst, the Jazz are saying we're not going to be bullied. He's going to show up.
Oh, Daryl Morey, I'm comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah, the problem for the Jazz is
they're the Jazz.
You need talent.
Oh.
And are you going to really waste a year of this of the potential of seeing how a talented player would play? And by that, I mean, maybe you have to trade him to just got to get picks, because if he's willing to sit out, then you lose out on a top five pick. And that year you spent tanking, wasted.
Ace Bailey to Phoenix for Jalen Green. Maybe you know,
but those,
hey, we'll also give you Sexton.
But Jalen Green is one of those guys who fits into that mold of what's that going to do for us? He's better than Cole Anthony and KCP.
Yeah, yeah. It's just at least like he's young.
But do the Jazz want to pay?
Probably not.
Let's say top 15 shooting guard, the money they're gonna have to pay him. Top 10, top 12 shooting guard. Yeah. I don't know.
Because you're not getting cheaper.
No, you're getting more expensive, and you lost out on the cheap contract.
And you're still blocking the guards that you've drafted the last 3 years with George,
Deontay George,
Collier, and now Walter Clayton.
Yeah. So, like I said, I love a staring contest, and we'll see who blinks in that one. Okay, we'll go to break. We'll get to hour two. I did see a caller. If you want to get back in, you can. 713-780-3776. And speaking of Steve Francis, it was a three-team, 11-player deal that involved, of course, the Rockets. The Grizzlies did get first and second-round picks in the trade, so they tried to get a haul. They got one. I don't know how those picks worked out. Hell, they moved to Memphis, so they couldn't work that great. So either way.
They moved to Memphis and weren't good for a decade.
Yeah, so couldn't work. So the Steve Francis trade did not work out for the Grizzlies. But we'll see if the Jazz can avoid a similar fate. I don't think they're moving, but maybe they have to trade their top pick because he just refuses to show up. We'll begin hour two when we get back. And Michael Carroll will join us at 11:30. But we got some time to get in. So. Or at least get you in if you want to do that. We got a couple things to get to before we talk to Michael. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.